Psalm 126, verse number 5 and verse number 6. I was meditating on these verses this week, and this is what we have. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Thank you for joining us on Facebook Live. If you're there, we're glad you're there. I'm speaking to myself this morning as much as I'm speaking to anybody else. So I'll let you listen in. The word picture painted in our text is a field. It talks about sowing seed in a field. Now, when we think of a field, we have a pretty good idea of a fertile field, of how that should work in the 21st century. But the idea presented is not as we would picture. When we think of a field with crops and all kinds of things growing, we might think of a cornfield, like maybe somewhere like Iowa or Wisconsin, and you have all these rows of corn just everywhere. And they're growing up knee-high by the 4th of July. You remember that? And, excuse me. And so, we think of that, but this isn't quite the same. We think of a wheat field, maybe in Kansas, with the wheat growing up and kind of blowing in the sun. But the fields in Bible days were harder to define. They didn't have roads like we have today and property lines and surveyors, okay? So their property was a little bit different. They would have waymarks. They would have landmarks. And that would be the divider of the... So, hey, from this rock over here to that tree over there, you know, this is my yard. And then from over here to the mountain over there, maybe, that was another one. And then the Bible talks about remove not the ancient landmarks, right? So sometimes in the middle of the night, somebody would move a rock and they'd always benefit themselves, right? They get a bigger field. And so there were a lot of different things that they used in Bible times for boundaries, stone walls. There would be many times that there would be a path going through a field. So as I was studying fields in Bible times, they said, you know, people didn't have roads to walk on. They just kind of shortest distance between two points is a what? Straight line, right? And sometimes that straight line goes right through your field. And guess what happens when people start walking on the crop that you're trying to plant? What gets crushed, doesn't it? So they would crush down the crop, whatever was popping out of the ground, you know, maybe a seedling, or they would trample it down when it was growing. And not only would travelers walk through that field and crush down, but they would bring horses with them, wouldn't they? Yes. Yeah, so they'd ride their horse and they'd walk through your field. They'd bring donkeys. Sometimes they'd have a cart behind them. Okay, it's not unusual to think about that. Some guy loads up whatever he's bringing to market and he just takes a straight line and he goes right through where your field is. He just kind of runs everything over and that's the end of that. Now, in the spring, a sower, the Bible talks to you about sowing. It's talking about planting seeds. Okay? He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. A sower was anybody, not only a farmer, but anyone who desired to eat in the future, okay, had to sow seed. They didn't have grocery stores. You know, you can go into the grocery store. Well, I don't know so much about now, but you used to be able to get like 17 different brands of whatever you're looking for, right? I mean, they have whole aisles just for cereal, right? They have, you know, Post and Kellogg's and generic brand and, you know, chocolate-coated sugar bombs and all that good stuff. And you walk down the cereal aisle and, I mean, there's just like two rows on both sides full of all different kind of, you can buy six different kind of cornflakes. You can buy granola, you know, all kinds of stuff. And but they didn't have that back in the Bible times. So if you wanted to eat, you didn't go to the store, you'd go to the market. But if you had to bring something to the market to sell, or you wanted to feed your family, you grew your own things. So they would grow their own things. I remember my grandmother had a root cellar underneath the house, and you'd go into the back, and you'd pull this ring up on the floor, right? You know what I'm talking about? And you'd swing it open like that, and you'd chain it to the wall, and you'd go down these musty stairs, right, where my dad grew up, and you'd go down these musty stairs into the root cellar and had a dirt floor, and she'd have potatoes in there. I mean, for months after, whenever the potatoes, I think probably kept them till spring, right? I mean, you'd have to plant these seed potatoes, and they'd cut them in pieces, right, and put them in the ground, some Captan now, but and all kinds of things down there in the root cellar. You know, the squash, you can keep that stuff indefinitely, right? There's probably still some down there. But they'd preserve their crops. They'd can things, pickle things, dry things. All right, so you get the idea. Now, Jesus told a parable. And look at Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. I need a cough button, like I have an easy button, right? Luke chapter 8, it's called the parable of the sower. A sower is someone who plants seeds, right? It's not like sowing with a needle and thread, right? A sower who's planting seeds. The parable of the sower is what Jesus gave us in Luke chapter 4, in Luke chapter 8, and in one other place, it's identical, nearly. Look at verse number 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A parable is a story that you can understand. It's an earthly story, and it has a heavenly and eternal connection. There's a moral to it. There's a point to it. You got to think a little bit, and then you say, oh, I get what you're talking about. There's a connection. Look at the next verse. Thank you. And the Bible says, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. So this is what happens to some of his seed. Now, there's four different things. Verse 6, and some fell upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. There's the second kind. Number 3, and some fell among thorns. And the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. There's the third kind. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, this is the important part of the parable. Jesus said, I didn't just come to tell you a midday story because we got nothing else to do. He said, I want you to hear. You ever say that to your kids, right? Are you listening to me, right? Did your wife ever say that to you? Never mind, don't answer that question, all right? he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus said, you're listening. You ever talk to somebody and have like a dial tone brain just kind of going on? Nah. You're looking at them and they're looking you in the eye and they're like a million miles away, right? Jesus said, hey, pay attention. I'm talking to you. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So he tells a story. A sower goes out to sow. What's he sowing? Seed, not clothes, right? He's sowing seed, all right? And there's four different responses that happen to the seed when he puts it on the ground. Now he said, here's the application, verse 9. And his disciples asked him, saying, good question, what might this parable be? What are you talking about, right? How does this apply? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. So if you don't pay attention, going to go right over your head. So he said, now here's the truth. Verse number 12. Those by the wayside, the first illustration, are they that hear? Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of, let's look at verse 11, I'm sorry. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. So he's talking not only about physical seed here now, but he's drawing the heavenly application. He said, I'm telling you, the word of God is a seed. And a sower is trying to plant the seed. And we'll see in just a second, verse 12. Those by the wayside are they when they hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their what? Hearts. That's the soil. So the seed is the what? The word of God. The soil is their hearts or our hearts. So here's the connection. He said a sower is sowing the seed, which is the word of God, into men's hearts. And there's four different kinds of soil, four different kinds of responses, four different kinds of hearts that he tells us about. He said, the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be what? Saved. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, 17. Here's the second type, verse 13. They on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And they which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Here's the fourth one. But they on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So here's Jesus talking about sowing and reaping. He gives a parable, the parable of the sower. Let's look at this thought this morning. The promise of a harvest. The promise of a harvest. Where we start in Psalm 126, verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. That's a promise. Just like John 3:16 is a promise. Psalm 126, verse 5 is a promise. If you will sow in tears, sow what? The word of God. Sow it where? In men's hearts. You shall reap with joy. That is a promise. God made that promise. It's in his book. Then it goes on and it says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. That's the word of God. But I find going forth with compassion. You know, we can sow the seed just kind of matter-of-factly, and we're going to get a matter-of-fact result. But the Bible says here, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Sheaves, they would take the wheat, and they would scoop it all together, and they would put it in a bundle. You've seen pictures. And they would tie that bundle, and they would stand it up. You know, they have hay bales, right? That was like a sheaf. They put the bales of hay. And, you know, you ever see those big round hay bales? You know, you ever see those big ones? They have a big thing that rolls them. You know, they ban those. They're illegal now. Cows aren't getting a square meal. Oh, okay. So you not only produce a crop, all right? But you have to, it's well-rounded, you have to gather what you get. And so the Bible says here, if you'll sow in tears, you'll reap in joy. If you'll go forth weeping, bearing the seed, doubtless, that's a promise. You would come again with rejoicing, and you'd bring your sheaves with you. Hey, those are the people whose hearts the seed has germinated and taken root. It's that fourth group where the seed has fallen and produced a crop, and people responded, and they were saved, and they produced fruit themselves. That's God's design for our life. Hey, look around us. Guess what? A bunch of sheaves here this morning, right? Bunch of lives here this morning that have received the word of God, trusted the Savior, and they're on their way to heaven, but doesn't stop there. Hey, you're giving out 10 tracts. You're going forth, right? I'm giving out 100. I am? What did I say? Hey, oh, it's on record. All right. A lot of work. Okay? And we're going forth, and we're supposed to weep while we go. And we're supposed to sow in tears while we go. So notice, let's look at the promise of a harvest. Number one, the soil, the seed and the soil. Now, the emphasis in Jesus' parable, although he mentions it, is not the character of the sower. He mentions the sower, but he doesn't say anything about the character of the sower, not of the quality of the seed. He mentions the nature of the soil. There were different kinds of soil that he mentioned in the parable in Luke chapter number 8. The growth of the seed depends on the nature of the soil. From verse 11, what is the seed? The seed is the word of God. Hey, that's incorruptible seed. That is the most powerful thing that you could plant. And so we find here that there's nothing wrong with the seed. The seed got sown in the first ground and the second ground and the third ground, and the results weren't very good. The seed got sown in the fourth ground and the results were tremendous, and that's what we should strive for. But it was the same seed. What happened? Different soil. If you sow seeds in different soil, you'll get different results. Okay, what color are cucumbers? Green, all right? I go to Brother Jackson's house, and he has green cucumbers. I'm jealous. This guy could plant cucumbers on the sidewalk, and they would grow. I went to his house one time. I don't know if he still grows cucumbers. I went to his house one time, and he had like a cucumber explosion. Remember that? I think it was in Hooksett. It was like, whoosh, cucumbers. I planted cucumbers, and my cucumbers turned orange. Like, wait a minute. Remember that? I'm like, they're like Hunter's orange. I'm like, wait a minute. It's supposed to be a green cucumber. I don't know what's in that soil, but I didn't want to eat it after that. Pumpkin's supposed to be orange, but not a cucumber. What happened? Different soil. He had good soil. I had clay. My soil was, and I tried to amend it, but somewhere, not all of them were orange, but a few of them were, and I'm like, wait a minute, something's wrong. But it's the same seed, but it's supposed to be green, different soil. The word of God is powerful. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse number 11, O thou afflicted, I'm sorry, that's 54, 55, 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. God said, my word will accomplish what I want it to accomplish. But sometimes our heart is not ready to receive the word of God. The Bible says in Jeremiah 23, verse 29, "Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, "The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing our hearts," right? The word of God is powerful. And yet this great power, this great potential, the seed of the word of God can be limited by the ability of the soil. You know, how many times do we hear the word of God preached, and yet our heart is like this? Go ahead, move me. Go ahead, try to affect me. Go ahead, try to get some seed into me. And our heart is hard. And yet somebody sitting right next to us, they might be saying, "You know what? I need this. God, please give me what I need. I came here hungry this morning. I'm like a little bird, right? Like, oh, feed me, right? Feed me. I need the word of God." Different soil. We have all different soil. There are people, they're like the wooden Indian outside of Castro's cigar store. Like, boing, it just bounces right off. Is it possible to limit God? We think, well, that's silly. Okay, look at Psalm chapter 78. Psalm chapter 78. We think, is it possible for me to limit God? Psalm 78 has the answer. And verse number 41. "Yea, they turned back, the children of Israel, and tempted God, and limited the Holy One of Israel." Is it possible to limit God? The Bible says it is. Look over to Matthew 13. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus talked about where he grew up. And as he came back home where he grew up and he preached the same parables and he preached the same gospel and he preached the same message that he preached in other places, the Son of God said this, verse 58, Matthew 13, 58, "And he did not many mighty works there," because he couldn't do mighty works, because he was weak, because he lost his fastball. No. "Because of their unbelief." Jesus said, "I am doing the mighty works," but you have to have the heart that believes. You've got to have the soil that receives the word. If the word's going to do you any good, you've got to be tender-hearted. What is the soil? In the parable of Luke chapter 8, twice. In verse number 12, the word is our heart. In verse number 15, "But they on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience." The heart of people. We must hear what the word is saying to us. Verse 18, "The sower sowed the seed in all four places. The results were different in each place. The fourth place was what God wanted, and yet the other three produced different results. The sower sowed the same seed. The results were not the same. Come to the word of God with a tender heart." Hey, when you open up your Bible, have a tender heart. I was watching a documentary about the man who took 28 years of his life and witnessed to 10 people a day. And you know what? Every time he witnessed to somebody, he was scared. So he had Philippians 4:13 in his pocket on a card, and he read it. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." And he put it back in his pocket, and then he'd go on and he'd witness to more people. He'd get scared again. He'd pull it out. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Boy, that's a great idea. I'm going to do that. He kept a tender heart. Keep a tender heart toward the word of God. Come to the word of God ready to hear. Approach the throne of grace ready to hear. Then the Bible says, rather than to give the sacrifice of fools. That's us telling God what we want. I wonder how many of us have asked the Lord this morning before we came to church to speak to our hearts. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the primary emphasis of coming here this morning. The word of God is being preached. Have we prepared the soil of our heart? Holy Spirit of God, prepare my heart to receive the word that's going to be preached today. Open my heart so I can receive the seed and not just let it bounce off like stony ground. Keep me tender-hearted. Four types of soil. In verse number 5, those on the wayside. The seed by the wayside. Verse number 5, "And the sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Verse 12 explains what the wayside is. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. The devil does not want you to hear the word of God. The devil does not want you to receive the word of God. The devil does not want you to be saved by the word of God. So what does he do? He makes you a mere hearer. They listen. Maybe they even smile. But those words are kind of like mental floss. They just kind of go, foo, foo, foo. There's nothing in the middle, right? It doesn't have a lodging. You know, two men from church went out hunting. And one was a layman and one was a preacher. And it was early in the morning. And it was a deer hunting season. So they both went two different ways. And sure enough, a deer came right through the middle. And once you know, they both pointed their rifle right at the deer. Bang, bang, they shot at the same time. And phoom, the deer fell over. The layman goes running up to it. The preacher comes from the other direction. He goes running up to it. He goes, hey, I got a deer. And the other guy says, hey, I got a deer. And he said, you shot at the deer too? Yeah, I shot at the deer too. And so the layman says, no. He said, preacher, I think you shot the deer. He said, how can you tell? I mean, you have to do a ballistics test, right? He says, nope. It was just like you're preaching. Look, it went in one ear and out the other. One ear and out the other, huh? Isn't that how it is sometimes? We hear the word of God, like, oh. Verse 5, trodden down. Hey, when the word of God comes to our heart and there's too much traffic in your heart to germinate, the seed is ruined. We get too many other things going on to hear the word of God because it's crowded out, trodden underfoot. We're too busy to hear the voice of the Lord. Be still and know that I am God. We've got everything going on in our life. We've got so much activity. We're too preoccupied. Verse 12 says that Satan comes. The feet of Satan are always allowed to walk all over your heart, and it's no wonder seed can't grow. When God sows the seed of the word of God in your heart, you mark it down, Satan does not want that seed to grow because he likes having you worthless and useless for God. He likes having you lost if you don't know Christ as your Savior. And he steps all over that word of God, and he tries to make it of none effect and neutralize it in your heart. Your heart is available to other things. Your heart may be available to lust, and the seed cannot germinate. Your heart may be available and open to lies. Your heart may be entertaining vanity, just foolish, empty thoughts. You know, there's so much of that today. All around us, it adds no value. It's like calories. And all the entertainment that we spend our time on, we waste our days on. And God says, I'm trying to give you a message from my word. And yet it's as sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. The fowls come, verse 12 says. The devil's birds are allowed to eat God's good corn in our life if we don't shoo them away. There are also those outside these walls to whom we are to sow the seed, right? The sower went forth to sow the seed. The seed is the word of God. The sower is one who has the seed. A sower is one who wants the seed to grow, wants to help God grow the seed on this earth. I was thinking about this. We're supposed to preach the gospel, no matter the soil. The soil may be receptive of the seed, I'm supposed to preach it. The soil may be hard in the wayside. The devil may come and stomp the seed. The birds may come and eat the seed. My responsibility is not to grow the seed. My responsibility is to sow the seed. That's your responsibility. Sow the seed. We are not relieved of our obligation and responsibility to sow the seed because of the condition of the soil. Oh boy, people's hearts are hard. It doesn't matter. The word of God is quick and powerful. But I wonder, could the soil be sweetened if I would sow in tears? I just sow. That soil may not be receptive of the seed. But the Bible says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth. When's the last time we wept over the lost condition of people on their way to hell? Maybe that's why people aren't getting saved. Maybe we need to get alone with God and say, God, when I go forth and sow the seed, help me to see this person as somebody's son, as somebody's daughter, as somebody's husband, as somebody's wife, as a soul that has an eternity that's going to spend somewhere forever in heaven or in hell. Give me compassion as I go. Help me to see them as you see them. How did Jesus see them? Luke 19. Luke 19, Jesus gave us his purpose. He said in verse number 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, here's why I came. I came to be the sinless sacrifice, to die on the cross. I came to shed my blood. I came to bear the sin of the world. I came to be buried, and after 3 days and three nights, rise from the grave for your justification. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. I came to sow the seed. That is his purpose. But in the same chapter, he tells us something else. In verse number 41, he tells us his passion. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. Why is it in just a few short chapters, in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2, that thousands in Jerusalem came to Christ, when thousands had just called for his crucifixion? I believe it's because he wept over the city. Every once in a while, and I need to do it again. Every once in a while, I get in my car and I go up to a parking garage like the one on the hospital up here on the hill. And I go up to the very top floor and I get out and I look over the city. Or I'll go over here on Wilson Street on some of these big three-deckers, go soul winning, I'll stop on the back porch and I'll just look and I'll just see the whole city. Or I'll go up here on Merrimack Street. There's a great view from Merrimack Street. And I'll just look out over to the city. Or sometimes I'll go to Mount Ankeniunik and I'll just look back this way. And I'll think there's 115,000 souls in this city. There's 20,000 souls in your city. There's 20,000 souls in your city. There's 50,000 souls in Derry. All these people, where are they going to spend eternity? Somebody's got to love them enough to go and give them the seed. Somebody's got to love the seed and the seed giver enough to weep over the lost like Jesus wept over Jerusalem. We go, but do we have compassion? I'm talking to myself. That's a symptom of something, isn't it? Do we have compassion? Do we sow in tears? When's the last time we shed one tear for the lost? Lamentations chapter 3. Jeremiah is referred to in history as the weeping prophet, isn't he? Jeremiah wept, and he said this in chapter 3 of Lamentations, verse 48, mine eye runneth down with rivers of water. It wasn't a little moisture in the corner of his eye. It wasn't, well, I must have got a bug in my eye, right? Mine eye runneth down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. Mine eye trickleth down and ceaseth not without any intermission till the Lord looked down and behold from heaven. Does God see our tears? Yes, he does. God saw the tears of King Hezekiah when he wept. God told Isaiah, I've heard his prayer. I've seen his tears. Mine eye, verse 51, do you see it? Mine eye affecteth mine what? Heart. You know what? We're looking at all the wrong things, aren't we? Why isn't our heart tender towards souls? Because we're so busy with all these other things. I'm talking to myself. Because of all the daughters of my city, mine eye affecteth my heart. Look at Acts chapter 20. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, how often would I have gathered thee under my wings like a hen gathereth her chicks, and ye would not. But he didn't stop sowing, did he? He said, you wouldn't listen, but I still love you. I'm still going to die for you. Thank God for a loving Savior. Jeremiah wept. Acts chapter 20, verse 31. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word. There's the seed of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. He goes on and he says, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Verse 31, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day. What's the last two words? With tears. You know, that verse has a whole different meaning if you don't add the last two words. You can warn people night and day and you could care less about people. Well, there we go. I told them, hey, the bridge is out. Whoosh. Oh, that was sure stupid. You got what you deserved, right? Hey, the bridge is out. Well, he didn't listen. Who cares? Not my problem. But what if you warned everyone night and day with tears? Hey, the bridge is out. And there were tears running down your face. No, don't go there. You're going to self-destruct. You're going to die. Forever, you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. No, I don't want you to go there. And God doesn't want you to go there with tears. Made a difference in Paul's life, didn't it? Jesus wept. Jeremiah wept. Paul wept. The second kind of ground, stony ground, verse 6 and verse 13. The heart and the person seem soft, but underneath they're hard. There's no lasting growth. There's no lasting good. The soil is superficial. The Bible says because it lacked moisture. No root because of no moisture. Here's a thought. Again, could the moisture be our tears? Could we change stony ground into tender ground if it had moisture? How many times could a person be confronted who has a hard heart by a loving person who would say, I don't want you to go without salvation. I don't want you to die and go to a devil's hell in the lake of fire. You need to trust Christ. Could our tears affect the outcome? The Bible says this person is offended. Verse 13, they on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in a time of temptation, fall away. The parallel chapter that goes with this is Matthew 13. In verse number 21, the Bible says the person is offended. Tribulation comes. Affliction comes. Persecution comes. And they fall away and they wither and they die. Time is the great tester of men. Anybody can do something for a day, or a week, or a month, or a year, or 5 years. But try doing that for 10 years, for 20 years, for 30 years, for 40 years, for 50 years, for a lifetime. Can your heart stay right not for a month or a year, but for a lifetime? Here's the thought. Being offended is inevitable. You will be offended. Guess what? I have offended some of you. I'm sorry. You have offended me, some of you. You're sorry. I know you are. Okay. Guess what? We'll offend each other again. Why? Because we're humans. We have different personalities. We have different energy levels. We have different passions. We have different causes and purposes. We have different lives. We're going in different directions. Being offended is inevitable. Living offended is a choice. You can live offended, and you can ruin your life, and you can get bitter, and you can ruin your family. You know, I have that little box of Decon that kills rats, right? 99.97% inert material. It's oats and grain and dust and whatever it is. But it's that 0.03% that's poison that kills you. So what does the rat do? The rat goes into the poison, takes the poison home. Gives it to all the little rats, and they all die in your attic. And they smell for a couple weeks, and they dry up, and they don't smell anymore. That's like getting offended and staying offended. And getting bitter and staying bitter. That church down there, that person, that pastor, that... You know what? Okay. We were probably wrong. I was probably wrong. But you don't have to make a choice to stay offended. Number three, here's the good soil. Not like the first two. The first two didn't have good soil, but the third one had good soil. And the Bible says in verse number 7, when the seed grew and germinated, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it, and did what? Choked it. Verse 14, and they which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Here's good soil. But thorns sprang up also with it. Hey, be careful what's growing up with you. It's not wrong to have cares of this life, but when the cares of this life become more important than the Word of God, then the Word of God will be choked in your life. Be careful. If you have riches, it's a danger. It's not wrong, but it's a danger. I was reading in a biography this week about a man who said before he got rich, he walked with the Lord. After he got rich, he said, I wish I was poor again because I'm not walking with God like I used to when I didn't have anything. Be careful. And the pleasures of this life, boy, there's so many of them, aren't they? They have 500 channels. You can go anywhere in the world at the touch of a finger, on a phone, anywhere. Bad places. Pleasures of this life, we get busy. Everybody's out playing ball. We get busy. Pleasures of this life, be careful. They can choke what the seed produces. There may be buds, blossoms. They may be immature fruit. Did you ever get a little green apple, right? You try to eat that thing and, oh, those are sour, aren't they? They bring forth no fruit to perfection. That little stunted runt of a fruit in your life is because all the other things growing up and choking out the Word of God. Well, I don't have a good spiritual life because you have too many things. Hey, you've got to pull out the thorns. No fruit unto perfection. They did not see the danger of the thorns. Oh, those thorns are, they're keeping me company. They're giving me shade. No, they're taking the nutrients from the soil and they're going to strangle you. Be careful. The pleasures of this life can drown out pleasures forevermore. The fourth ground is good ground. Verse 8. Another fell on good ground. Same seed, different ground. And sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. When he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus said, listen to what I'm telling you in this proverb. Listen to what I'm telling you in this parable. Be this heart. Verse 15. They on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Notice it doesn't say a perfect heart. None of us has a perfect heart. But an honest heart. Hey, when God confronts you about something, be honest. Okay, I'm wrong. You're always right. I need to fix that. Okay, that's how you keep your heart honest. That's how you keep your heart from being stony ground. I'm right, and I don't care what you say. Guess what? Your heart's going to be hard, and God's going to say, I'm trying to plant some seed in your life, but you won't even. It's like planting it on the sidewalk out front. There's no way it's going to grow. You can plant grass on a sponge. You ever do that when you're a kid? Plant grass on a sponge, right, and grow, water it, and then it goes, all dies. What happened? Nowhere else to go. Bringing forth fruit with patience. What's the key? Let's look at it one more time. Verse 15. Luke 8, verse 15. The key is, they that are on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, what's the next two words? Keep it. Keep it. You're hearing the word. What are you supposed to do? Keep it. Keep it, put it in your heart, let it find lodging, let it have fertile ground, let it grow, let God do a work in your heart. Keep it, an honest heart, a heart that's ready to receive the word of God, a heart that is tender, a heart that is patient, a good heart. Hear the word of God and keep it.